today on Real Radio.
Because I believe time spent conscious of God in our hearts and minds is time spent in prayer. And pausing for power is to pause for prayer. You might say, well, my life's too busy. Well, you better take time.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the New Testament letter known as 1 John. In fact, we're in the final verses of the last chapter of this five-chapter epistle, and as the Apostle John wraps up this letter, he leaves us with some admonitions, some thoughts about praying in accordance with God's will, as well as avoiding sin. Now, one of the best ways to avoid sin is, well, you guessed it, through prayer. In other words, the two simply go hand in hand. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Pausing for Power.
John tells us, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin or a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And John says, amen. Christian fellowship is an opportunity that we should all keep and hold and prize supremely. Christian fellowship. Our coming together as a church, as a ministry, as friends together in the name of the Lord is extremely important. And it causes us to have fellowship together. It causes us to enjoy the unity of God together. It causes us to have vision together. Because when those things are not happening, that is when we're not fellowshipping together, you and I, then we will not have that unity, we will not have that vision, and we will not have the passion to do Christian service and Christian ministry as God has intended it for us to enjoy. We'll in fact lose our way. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, there where the stern warning comes, Paul says, let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up the meeting together, the gathering together, church, as we call it, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, and that is, of course, the day of Christ. Lord Jesus, come. And so we have to be careful, because there are allurements that will pull us away. And it's a very dangerous time in which you and I live in. And John is addressing and has been Christian fellowship and the things that come from it. One of the great dangers that we face as Christians is that temptation to become lazy in spiritual things. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this, okay? I get tired in doing spiritual things. Well, what's the matter, Pastor? Aren't you paid enough? I'm paid fine. Well, didn't you get enough rest? I had a great rest. I had a wonderful... That's not the point. I get tired in spiritual ventures like you do, don't you? Oh, it's just me, huh? You're being so transparent. I'm being it for us both. It's difficult to stay on that path. We need friends. We need Christian fellowship. We need people together with us to lead us on and to help us on in this Christian walk of ours. And we have a great temptation around us to become lazy in spiritual things. We need to be accountable. We can lose the desire of this fellowship that we're speaking about tonight. We can lose that desire of coming together before not only one another, but before God in prayer. The title of the message tonight is very, very important. And that title I'd like you to jot down. The title is Pausing for Power. Pausing for Power. And I believe that's what John is teaching us in these closing verses of his epistle. Why? Because I believe time spent conscious of God in our hearts and minds is time spent in prayer. And pausing for power is to pause for prayer. You might say, well, my life's too busy. Well, you better take time. Because God is so good. He'll get you praying by hook or by crook. He's got his way. If you're not spending time with him, he loves you so much, he'll say, boo, and get you flat on your back. Your heart might do a little fibrillation there, and you go, oh, you know, Hepzibah, I'm going down. Take me in, 911. And you're in the hospital, you're flat on your back. And God says, hi. It's so great to hear from you. He can get our attention that way, you know. We need to pause for power. We can, and we are very busy people, too busy, I'm afraid. But during the whole movement of our day, we can be pausing moment by moment for power. And that is having an attitude of prayer, which I believe is what he wants to teach us tonight. In Psalm 143, verse 5, Psalm 143, 5 says, I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all of your works, Lord, and I muse on the works of your hands. That's prayer. That's pausing for power. It's a wonderful thing. But prayerlessness, that is not pausing to experience the power of God and that rejuvenating strength that God gives in a moment, by the way, as we walk in fellowship with him, he infuses his strength. Prayerlessness is the diet of spiritual starvation. As a Christian, if you're not praying and if you're not in an attitude of prayer, you're going to break down. You're going to go into a spiritual diet of starvation. I remember about 3 years ago, and by the looks of me, I need to do it again, but about 3 years ago, I went on a protein-only diet, and I loved it. I just loved it. I ate fish only, and I did that for about 6 months, which I didn't know I could damage my liver so badly doing that, and I ate only fish, and I lost 22 pounds, and I felt fine for a while, but then my metabolism freaked out, kind of went into shock, and I began to not hold down any fat whatsoever. My doctor told me, you need to start taking in some fat. I tried to do that, and I threw it right up, and it scared me. Listen, you get caught in some goofy diet that leaves you out of the strength and nutrients that you need, and you can get sick. You can damage your body. Prayerlessness is spiritual starvation. You'll have no power. You'll starve. Over and over again in the Bible, in the scriptures, we're challenged to pray and to keep praying. We're encouraged to stay at it and to not quit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul tells us there, pray without ceasing. That's keep breathing in prayer. I love that. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of yesteryear, once said, quote, the prayer meeting is the lungs of the church. Do you attend a prayer meeting? Are you faithful to pray for your community, for your neighborhood? Are you involved in walking the streets as the ministry is here? There's a ministry in this church that walks the streets and prays over the addresses and houses and streets of various cities in our area. Do you pray? Have you committed yourself to work at prayer? It is an effort. A Christian without prayer is like a man without air. And that is so very true. Being without air, think about it. Well, you know, I don't think I need to pray. Things are going pretty fine. Listen, you need to pray. I need to pray. Jesus prayed. Sometimes he spent all night in prayer. And he had power, didn't he? And you might say, well, yes, but that was the Son of God. Yes, you're right. But if the Son of God spent all night in prayer, then how much more do we need to be in prayer? A Christian without prayer is like being without air. And I thought about that, about how long can we go? I tell you, you and I will suffer greatly when we're without air. You know what happens? You ever been underwater? Hold your breath. This last week on vacation, we were down at the beach, and the waves were huge from this storm, huge. And I put my fins on, and I went out there. I went out there, and they were giant things. They had the red flag going, you know, and which I thought meant no surfers were allowed out there. But stupid as I am, but I had fins on, so I was okay. And these waves were huge, and it was exhilarating to see them coming. It's like, awesome. And I would dive under, and it's silent down there. And the wave, you open your eyes, and you watch the wave go by, and then you come back up, and it's beautiful out. And the water's so clear right now and so warm, and I went down. I didn't realize how far down I had gone. And as I was coming up, because I didn't have goggles on, I had my eyes. I knew I was getting near the surface. I could see it coming. And yet I was still a good 10 feet away. And you know what happens when you're without air? You start to burn inside. Your throat begins to burn. Your lungs begin to burn. Then almost instantaneously, there's a tension, a pressure against your chest. Then there's a panic. I begin to kick more and more. And the more you kick, the more you consume air. And I just exploded out of the top. And here's the thing. By the time I got to the top, there was another wave coming. And it scared me. It scared me. And then I thought for a moment. 24 hours earlier, I had thought about the Kursk, that Russian submarine with those submariners in there. As these men lost their lives, they lost their lives due to a lack of air, and a church will lose its life due to a lack of prayer. A Christian, you and I, will go down because of a lack of prayer. And those submariners in that great Russian vessel, it was horrible to find a few things out, and I noted them down. Did you know that from the listening post in Stuttgart, Germany, and from the coast of Norway, the United States Navy and the Central Intelligence Agency listened to the entire accident of the Kursk take place in real time? Did you know that? We had three submarines in the area and one warship monitoring their war games. And did you know that the U.S. Naval Intelligence could hear the impact of the ship against the bottom of the sea or some other vessel? The tearing of the twin hulls we listened to in real time, as far away as Stuttgart, Germany, with our electronic devices, that the explosions of the four torpedoes that then filled the ship with water up in the front, that we literally could hear, that is, our intelligence agencies could literally hear the men drowning. Such technology is beyond my imagination, but yet this has been reported. Jane's Defense Weekly, the defense magazine and intelligence agency from London, tells us that the United States listened to the accident take place while Moscow was not even aware of the incident for nearly 12 hours. Moscow later became aware of the international crisis from CNN News. All the time, there were men dying for a lack of air. When we're running out of air as a church, there won't be much time. When we're not praying as a church, it's over. When we're running low, we'll lose power. Four things we'll look at tonight, and we'll do them very quickly, I promise. And verses 14 to 15, concerning our pausing for power, is that number one, pausing for power gives us the boldness that we need tonight to be successful Christians. Verses 14 and 15, pausing for power gives us the boldness we need. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that is in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and that's a very confident statement, by the way, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we've asked of Him. Such bold statements, isn't it? So the first thing we see here in verse 14 is that this boldness that we have, this boldness that's given, is given for us to speak the truth of God. Can you note that this evening? Can you jot that down? Is to speak the truth of God. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. My goodness, to speak the truth. Listen, we can come before God, we can come before man, we can come before devil and speak the truth, the Bible, because God has embedded it in our hearts. The psalmist says, I have hidden your word, O God, in my heart. What? That I might not sin against you. So we speak the truth of God. Pausing for power gives us the boldness to speak the truth of God. When we pause for power, we can speak the truth of God both in a positive and in a negative. That is, we can give encouragement to people, listen, and we can turn and, if called upon, and it's biblical, rebuke someone, correct someone. We can encourage and bless and exhort, or we can turn and be in the Holy Spirit and rebuke, correct, and admonish. Both for the positive and negative in its application. If we pause for power as Christians, if we take time to be with God, we will come out with a new and energized power to speak the truth of God. We won't whimper from it. We won't hide from it. When a cult knocks on our door, we won't hide. Honey, you answer the door. No, man, we say, come on, hey, did I hear a knock at the door? Man, you open up that door and because you've paused for power. You've got the truth of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" Verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and Chino Hills." Well, it says to the ends of the earth. That's here. Acts 4:29 says, "Now, Lord," they prayed, "look on their threats and grant to your servants that which all boldness we may speak your word." Pause for power. Speak the word of God. Gives us boldness as we pause. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, gathered together, a church together, was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they jumped up and down and rolled around on the aisles and swang on the chandeliers." No, it didn't say, no, it says they spoke the word of God with boldness. But this word confidence is a radical word here. And God says it's for us. And I don't want you to forget what this word means, confidence. He says, now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Do you? Well, let's see. Confidence. The word in the Greek means an outspokenness that was not there before. It can also be translated enthusiasm. You've gone through this word study before with me, but if you haven't been here lately, enthusiasm is reserved for the Christian only. It needs to be taken out of every and any dictionary that does not have its correct Noah Webster's definition. En, enthusiasm. En is Greek for indwelling. Theos is God. Enthusi, God. Indwelling God. Asm is action or activity. God dwelling inside of you causes activity. That word enthusiasm is reserved for the Christian alone. Oh no, I'm a car enthusiast. No, you're an idiot. You can't be a car enthusiast unless the car is inside you and it generates your reason for living. Yeah, that's right, I'm a car enthusiast. A lot of people are like that, you know. It means that they're possessed by their passion for their car or whatever it might be for you. Maybe it's money. But in the true meaning of the word, enthusiasm is indwelt by God, which produces action, confidence, an outspokenness that wasn't there before, like enthusiasm, a frankness, straightforwardness, an ability to bluntly put the point or matter across with love, to reside in assurance. What a great meaning. All of this is wrapped up in this word confidence. The second thing we see in verse 14 is that this pausing for power gives us the boldness to talk to God with assurance. To talk to God with assurance. We can talk to him boldly. Listen, it says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Did you hear that? He hears us. What's the prerequisite? Ask according to his will. Find out what his will is and then talk to him about it. Say, well, I'm afraid to find that out. Why? He wants what's best for you. Did you know the good stuff that you have in your life? Do you know where it came from? It came from God. The good stuff that you have came from God. He should be blessed for that, praised for that. See, Lord, I want to know your will. Listen, praying according to the will of God doesn't change God's will. Now, Lord, I'm going to go to prayer and I'm going to change your mind on this matter. No, the great thing about prayer is going to prayer before God and our hearts get changed toward and into the will of God. Prayer changes us. That's what it does. And we can talk to God with assurance. I love how John introduces. Notice this, how he introduces prayer. He says that if we ask anything, he didn't even use the word pray. If we ask anything, just like you and I talking together. Hey, can I, you know, borrow your barbecue? Oh yeah, sure, I'll bring it by. It's just like a conversation. May I? Just like we're talking. John says, hey, the next time you're talking to God, talk to him about answer prayer and praying according to his will. Just talk to him. Christians just talk to God. We've got this thing in our mind that if we don't have calloused knees and if we don't have some monastery that we hide in, that we're really not praying. I'm not mocking those things. I think we all ought to have our personal, private, secluded hideaway with God. Personally, I think we need that. But prayer is an attitude. I'm going to talk to God every moment of the day, all the time. And listen, quite frankly, I hope and pray it can be said of you in this church that we really never stop praying. We just talk to God all the time. That when we call a prayer meeting, it's simply because we're going to come together and do it because we're praying all the time. Are you God conscious? Then you're praying. It's an awesome way to live. James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, he says, you have not because you, ask not. Well, it makes it kind of sound like you're saying that God wants us to just start asking all the time. All the time. Don't you think you and I need help all the time? Well, I know, I'm doing pretty good. No, you're not. You need to ask him all the time. All the time. Why don't we ask him more often? And why don't we ask him for more stuff? I don't mean things. I mean stuff. God's stuff. Lord, what kind of God stuff do you want to do in my life today? Lord, you know what? What do you want from me for the rest of the year? Where do you want me? I tell you, that's an e-ticket prayer. Put your seatbelt on when you pray that. Because God says, what was that I heard? He's giving me carte blanche to his life? Oh man, now I can do something. Talk to him. In Luke 11, 9, the Bible says, so I say to you, Jesus is speaking, ask and it will be given to you. Sounds like he's begging us, huh? Ask, it's going to be given to you. Seek, you'll find it. Knock, it's going to be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it's going to be opened, he says. You kind of get the sense that God is saying, come on!
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the final verses of 1 John chapter 5. The title of this lesson, Pausing for Power. It's a study on how taking and making time for prayer helps in avoiding sin. Pausing for Power is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John himself, the Apostle of Love. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and of course that means that tonight you can catch our TV program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You're going to like this program. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on hischannel.com. hischannel.com. Now, on Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Pastor Jack often sits down with some, well, really fascinating people to talk about a lot of the hard-hitting issues of today. And that, of course, through the lens of Scripture. Now, if you've seen Real Life with Jack Hibbs, you know what I'm talking about. And of course, tonight we've got another great show, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Monday nights at 7 o'clock West Coast time on his channel. That's hischannel.com. Also, as a reminder, if you can sign up for Pastor Jack's devotional, that'd be great. Words to the Wise is a devotional you're just going to love. I personally get Words to the Wise devotionals in my email box. And I got to tell you, I love and appreciate Words to the Wise. We get more subscribers all the time, and they're getting in touch with us and letting us know how much they appreciate Words to the Wise. Here's one recent email. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for your words this morning. As I was doing my daily devotion, I decided to check Words to the Wise. What a blessing to be reminded that God is in control. Thank you for your message. Isn't that a simple message, but it's one we got to hear. Well, thank you for sending that email in. I have personally seen Pastor Jack's face light up when we get messages like this. Sign up for Words to the Wise. It's free, and they show up in your email box. Just visit realradioactive.org to learn more. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.